is a special service where the youth group gets to lead church in the church worship. We're so glad you're here. Please take a moment to fill out the connection card in your bulletin. You can place it in the offering plate when it comes by later today. We want to make sure you know about the retirement party for Pastor Paul happening this Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m. There will be a catered meal, lawn games, and lots of fun together. If you will be attending, please RSVP today, either at the ministry station or online at fbca2.org/retirement. We also invite you to join us in the fellowship hall after the service for a bake sale to support our trip to Nicaragua with Amos Health and Hope this summer. In addition to delicious treats like cinnamon rolls, brownies, bread and cookies, there will be lemonade and self-serve candy. We'll have a spin the wheel game. Even if you can't purchase anything, you can come and enjoy samples, drinks, and fun. See you there.
O God of water and sunshine,
you make the plants grow up strong in the springtime.
You give them everything they need to flourish.
Just like those plants, when we grow it near you,
we have everything we need to be happy and strong.
Thank you for the gift of worship together today.
Please stand as you're able for the invocation. Gracious God, your love gives us space to breathe and relax. Keep our minds and hearts open to feel and learn new things today, that we might be more connected to you and to each other. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you.
follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seats of scoffers. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither.
In all they do, they prosper.
The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff that the wind blows away.
Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
For the ways of the wicked will perish, but the Lord watches over the ways of the righteous.
God put this power to work in Christ when God raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority, the power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in his age but also in the age to come. And God has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The book of Acts. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up for you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Teenagers, come on up. Can you grab the book? Can you go get the book? Go get the book. Go on. We need the book. Come on, Emma. When we're curious, we ask questions. Today we're going to ask a big question. What is God like?
This book helps us know what God is like by giving us examples of things we love and know. Listen to the words Rachel Held Evans and Matthew Paul Turner used to describe God.
And notice the pictures too. They will help us know what God is like too. The pictures were created by Ying Hu Tan.
One that people from places all around the world have wondered about since the beginning of time. And while nobody has seen all of God, because God is far too big for any of us to fully see, we can know what God is like.
God is like an eagle, sharp-eyed and swift,
with wings so wide you can play under their shadows.
God is like a river,
constant and life-giving. When you grow near God,
sprout up strong as a tree.
God is like the stars, forever present and bright. Even when they feel far away, you can always look up and see them winking at you. God is like a shepherd, brave and good, a protector who loves her sheep so much that she watches over all of them and knows each of their names by heart. God is like a gardener, patient and nurturing. God plants, waters, weeds, and fertilizes the earth until every good thing on it seeks the nourishing sun and grows.
God is like an artist, creative and unpredictable, always busy making and remaking everything brilliant
and new.
God is like a mother, strong and safe.
You can crawl up into her lap whenever
you want to, and she will hold you until you fall asleep.
God is like three dancers, graceful and precise. They move to the same music in very different ways, showcasing all of God's elegance and rhythm in your life. God is like a rainbow, vivid and full of color, a dazzling reminder of promise and hope for all people after a storm.
God is like a best friend, faithful and true, close to you than even your brothers or sisters.
And because
we know what God is like, we know
that
God is kind, God is forgiving, God is slow to get angry, God is quick to be glad, God is happy when you tell the truth and sad when things are unfair. She is your protector, he is trustworthy, they are friends when you feel alone. God hopes, God preserves.
What is God like? Whenever you aren't sure what God is like, think about what makes you feel safe,
what makes you feel brave,
and what makes you feel loved. That's what God is like.
Okay, let's sit. It's church school. That's church school.
A blessing for learning to love yourself. When I don't feel worth loving, God, help me remember that you made me on purpose. God, let me look through your eyes to see the way you look at me, with pride and tenderness, deep joy and love. every freckle put in place, every split end numbered, every tear bottled, every bad joke laughed at, all my limits and all my mistakes, all my wild hopes and sometimes sour attitude, all that makes me is a masterpiece, at least in your eyes. So, blessed am I, the one who sometimes feels unlovable, the one who can't stop replaying that one horrible moment over and over again. Never mind, it's been several years, and they definitely don't remember what I said. Blessed am I, as I shake off the embarrassment of being human again today, in all my cringe-worthy foot-and-mouth moments, in my old school photos, the crooked smiles and out-of-placeness I felt or still feel. Blessed am I, as I try to feel at home in this skin, remembering with more and more compassion that this is me in all my humanity. Maybe humility is something like this, compassion for ourselves, because there's no preconditions to being loved.
Every week in youth group, we each share something that brought us joy during the week and something that is concerning or difficult. It's a tradition that Pastor Stacy started and is a great way for us to acknowledge both good and the hard in our lives. This prayer, written with input from the youth group, includes thanks for joys, some concerns we have about the world, and asks for help as we hope and work for a more just world. After the time of silence, I will finish praying by singing the Lord's Prayer. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we come this morning grateful for the joy we experience in this life. We thank you for the joy of the warm weather and the spending more time outside. We thank you for the joy we get from spending time with our families. Thank you for the joy of having amazing friends and fun activities to share with them, like dance, video games, plays and musicals, sports, forensics, choir, summer camp, and mission trips. But God, we wouldn't be totally honest if we also didn't tell you about the things in the world that are concerning to us. It's painful to think about how we are enjoying life with our family and friends here while so many people are dying in Gaza, while hostages are still far away from their families, and while we celebrate the warm weather and are also increasingly concerned about how our world is warming and how little is being done to stop it. God, you know about these concerns. We beg you to give us the courage to act. Give us the courage to sacrifice and stand for what's right. May we be a part of the change we want to see. It is hard to have hope sometimes when we see so much pain around us. But still, we hope and work. We hope and work for a world where no children die from bombs and hunger and dirty water. We hope and work for a healthier world where we use our resources more wisely and stop exploiting and poisoning each other. We hope and work for a world of justice and peace. Help us to find hope today in you and in each other. And now we pray for your special help and encouragement from Mervyn Ucarts, Joyce Robbins, David Gregg, Esther Floyd, Marlene Francis, Eva Kelly, Betty Gerstler, Marilyn Marsh, Kathleen Cartier, Keith Maurer, the McLeod family, Mike Kelly, Beth Granberry, Grange Burnside, the Sanford family, Simona Butler, John Rowe, and Faye Key. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen. 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 Amen.
Huge thanks to the members of our youth group who have offered such great leadership in worship today. Thank you. And thanks to Valerie Francia, who leads our Ministry of Youth. She's gesturing to others as if she doesn't merit thanks. And thanks to Zan Morgan, who lends her own leadership to this ministry. And thanks to lay members of this congregation who are a vital part of that team. Let us pray. And now, Holy God, in our hearing, let a living word break through by the gift of your Spirit. May our lives be awakened by it, turned by it, empowered by it, to live nearer to the way of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Most of us have known, in one way or another, some feelings of abandonment. Someone we love leaves us. We are deserted. Or they don't leave, but withdraw and grow distant emotionally, relationally. Or they die. And we're abandoned to the fact that we will never, ever see them again, and that our favorite face is really gone. An abandonment of any kind can be like a blow to the gut. And it can bring a great heaviness, like a stone you carry in your chest. Or it can carve an empty, aching space into you where the one who is gone used to be. It hurts to be left behind. Did the friends of Jesus feel it at all when he left them behind? And was it all the worse because he'd already left them once, yet wondrously reappeared to them, and only now he abandons them again, and now this time for good? He gathers them all together for this goodbye. But before he can even speak, out of their anxiety rises this question. Lord, is this when the kingdom of Israel will be restored? He is leaving and they're asking about Israel. They're asking about whether he goes to get rid of the Romans, to set Israel free and make it great again. As if he were the Messiah that they had always been hoping for, a Messiah he never had been. He says, it's not yours to know, none of your business. Only God is to know what will happen and when. So he's assured them of what has to be their ongoing uncertainty about all manner of things. And he's also telling them that their hope is too small. But he does add words that they don't expect. You will receive power from the Holy Spirit. It will come upon you and you will be my witnesses, yes, in your country, but more to the ends of the earth. Then he leaves them. And let me suggest that you not get too hung up on the traditional imagining of how he left them. The image of him rising into the sky higher and higher, all the way up to heaven. That image is at best baffling, and at worst, it's ludicrous. It's not even what the text says. The text does say that he was lifted over them. Then it says there was a cloud. A cloud took him. In a cloud of mystery, his friends lose him. And so have we. If we could see Jesus' actual face and hear his actual voice and look into those actual eyes, how much better we could do at living this life. But he's gone. We don't get to see. He is hidden in mystery. But do think of the wonderful news that the story is telling us. It is saying that God exalted this Jesus, meaning among whatever else, that the nature of Jesus, his character and commitments, his spirit, his kind of living has been lifted up over all that is. Vulnerability is enthroned. Nonviolence, radical acceptance, total forgiveness, self-giving love are enthroned. His truth is vindicated. And in the end, in ways we cannot yet imagine, love wins. Love rules. Doesn't seem likely, does it, that the disciples are feeling much of any of that when he goes away? More likely, they feel left behind. This awful reopening of empty space where he ought to have been, once was, and now is not. But Jesus had just spoken to them of that very emptiness, in particular of what would fill it up. He had said, you will receive new power. The Holy Spirit will come to you and you will receive power now. At the moment, they could not have imagined what that might mean. We know because we know what happened to them at Pentecost. It was a power to get over themselves. Power to be fearless. Power not to care what anybody else thought of them. Power of a new kind of shared strength and freedom. Power to speak to others in ways that others could comprehend. Power of a new and growing community, a boundary-breaking power. They didn't know anything about that power yet. All they knew was an empty sky and the emptiness that ached in themselves. And yet he had given the promise of what was to come and the instruction that they would need to wait for it. Jesus didn't give many answers. What he did give was power and the promise of more power to come. The Spirit's gift to the empty spaces. 3 years ago, Stacy preached on this text and pointed this out. When Luke's gospel tells the story of Jesus' ascension, Luke includes this line, "And Jesus lifted up his hands and blessed them, and while he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up toward heaven." Then Stacy hammered it home with this. While he was blessing them, he left. It's the last thing he does before he goes. No final words, no actual goodbyes, but a blessing. That still will not stop. He is still doing it. Maybe this was the last thing that filled their vision, his beautiful, wounded hands lifted over them, blessing them until he was gone from their sight, but blessing them still. And then she added, "And what if the leaving itself were part of the blessing? What if his departure, his fresh absence, was making space for them, making space for their new purpose, making space for their new future? Because how do you live into a new, uncertain future if your heart is too taken up with a past that is gone? Jesus had to go if they were to become his body, and they had to let him go if they were to find the Holy Spirit and be filled by the Spirit, who would use them to change their world." For most of us, this is a pretty hard turn to make, and it's a slow turn to make, to discover that it's true, that the empty space is a holy space, that is God's space to inhabit and to use. And of course, it is a foolish thought to have the hope that the hole that's left behind is going to get all filled up and healed over. What a betrayal that would be. But that space can be offered. And for those who will offer it to the love of God, there can be born within it new power for new purpose. The need of this is nicely depicted in our story. The left behind disciples are gazing upward to the empty space where Jesus had vanished from their sight. But then they see two men in white robes who put this question to them, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking up to heaven?" That is, are you stuck on empty wishing to get back what you once had but won't get back? Are you looking for God to come down and fix it for you? Why do you stand there looking up to the sky? And with that, in the words of Barbara Brown Taylor, the disciples stopped looking up and started looking around. For Jesus had given them a new purpose in this world. And they were the ones who must do it with their lives where they are. And they had heard his promise that the Spirit would come to them and give them power to do it. And so, dear friends, with us, whatever losses we may have sustained, whatever aching emptiness we carry, whatever anxiety or dread we may have over what separations may still be to come, or whatever we think, however persuaded we are about our weaknesses and our uncertainty and incapacity, still we hold fast to the promise new power will be given, is being given. The hands of Christ are still lifted in blessing, and the blessing continues on and on and on. His way of love exalted and enthroned above this world and everything in it has crowned us with purpose. New, living, present purpose. And that love will not give us purpose without also giving us power to fulfill it.
Grateful to God for the gifts of love and grace, we invite you to give your gifts to meet the needs of this church and our local community.
I come to the garden. The joys we share as
God, we thank you for the generosity of our people. Please bless the gift we give in this community. May we use them to act justly, walk humbly with you, and love mercy.
To Michigan Tech University next year to major in computer science. He's the son of DJ and Heather, as I'm sure most of you know DJ and Heather. Anyway, it's been a joy having Danny in youth group this year. Danny, if you've ever had a chance to talk with him, he's smart, he's funny, and he thinks critically about lots of different things. If you're ever wanting to kind of break up groupthink in your group dynamics, you just ask Danny what his opinion on an issue is, and you'll get something interesting outside of the box and just clever. And so I've just enjoyed interacting with Danny this year. And if you get a chance to congratulate him, please do after the service down at the bake sale. We're very proud of you. We have a gift for you from the church. It is a blanket in the Michigan Tech colors, black with yellow lettering. It says, "We love you, First Baptist Church. We love you, Danny, First Baptist Church of Ann Arbor." So he'll be getting that this week. But thank you so much for your support of the youth today, and thank you for your support of Danny. Congratulations.